The following audio is from Harvest Fellowship. For more information about Harvest Fellowship, visit harvestabq.org.
Good morning, church. Are y'all excited to be in church today? I hope you are. Happy 4th of July on the 3rd of July. Are you happy to be in America? It's pretty great. It's a pretty great country. There's a lot of stuff to complain about, but it's a pretty great country, right? Let's just focus on the good stuff today. Happy 4th. Hey, real quick, next Sunday, we're going to do something really special and exciting, and I have a special guest that's going to join me because I want you to hear her story. You know, if you've been watching the news about the conflict that's been unfolding in the Ukraine, and we just have a really unique opportunity, and you're going to hear from someone who is Ukrainian, who now lives here, but she's been back multiple times since the war has broken out, and I'm telling you, you're going to want to hear her story. And I talked to her this week, and I'm like, you know what? Would you come next Sunday? And she's like, are you for real? I'm like, for real. We're changing our plans. I want you to come. I want Harvest to hear the story. And let me tell you this, you're going to have a unique opportunity to participate with us in some of the things that are happening there. And I think you're really going to like it, all right? So I just want to encourage you to be here next week and to be a part of that, okay? We've been in a series called We. We've been talking about these statements that define who we are as a church, and I'm going to pause that today because I couldn't miss the opportunity because of the events that have been unfolding in our world, and so I have just kind of a one-off message today that really I'm hoping will speak to where we are today and the things that have been unfolding. And I do just have to tell you on the front end, I'm just going to admit to you that I don't get nervous. I've preached enough in my life. I don't really get nervous about preaching, but I've been a little bit nervous this week because of some of the things I'm going to talk about. And so can I just tell you my concern? My concern is that I think some of you are going to take it wrong and you're going to be mad at me, all right? That's really what I really think so. And I'm okay with that. Like, I've already settled it. I've already prayed about it. And I'm like, all right, if people don't like you, me, because of what I say, it's because of God's word, and I don't know. But I'm just telling you, I'm just a little bit nervous. Is that okay for me to tell you that? I'm a little bit nervous. And part of it is this, is because you probably know, I don't have social media, but my wife has social media. And so sometimes I use her social media to spy on you. Did you know that? I do, sometimes. And so in the last 9 days, the world, I mean, there's a lot going on, but we're at a moment right now. Like 9 days ago, our Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade, and Lisa and I were, it happened on a Friday, we were at the fireworks stand. We had spent the night there on Thursday night, and I got up, and I we had a little RV there that the Gleasons let us borrow, and so I was out getting stuff ready, and she was cleaning up in the RV, and all of a sudden, she swings the door open. She's like, you're not going to believe this. And she read the headline to me. I'm like, you're right. I don't believe that. This is crazy, right? And so we started processing that. And then we were at the fireworks stand that next day on Saturday. And then last Sunday, Lisa and I were in Santa Fe at our friends at the Grove and great church there. And I remember telling Lisa on Saturday night, I'm like, I can't believe that on the weekend of this momentous decision that we don't get to be with our church on Sunday. I was like, I'd love to be. I want to be at Harvest, you know, but I couldn't be at two places. But then I'll tell you that then I thought, you know, maybe it's good that I'm not there, because I feel like it's such a dividing topic that I feel like no matter what I say, I'm just going to make some people mad, all right? And so I'm back to this part that I already told you that I'm kind of mad. I'm kind of nervous that you're going to be mad at me, but I've settled that, all right? So potential landmine talking about this. Am I right? Can we talk about it? Would it be all right for the church to talk about the current events? But I want to talk about it from a biblical standpoint. That's always we got to go back to God's word. Do you believe that? So here's what we're going to do, is we do this every Sunday. We're going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to just position your heart today. But I'm asking you today with a little bit extra, you know, grace, with just a little bit extra, you know, patience, with just a little, just how about this? Would you just ask the Holy Spirit to talk to you today? Right? That's kind of the point of this prayer every Sunday. I like to tease with you and say this. You can't pray this prayer for your spouse, okay? You can't pray this prayer for the person across the room that you think really needs to hear about this because you saw their Facebook post this week. It doesn't work that way. You can only pray it for yourself. So how many of you will do that this morning? You'll pray and say, Lord, I want you to talk to me today. All right, let's pray. Father, we open up your word. We believe you're going to speak to us today. And as we do that, Lord, we open up our hearts. Lord, will you speak to each and every one of us today in a unique way? Lord, you know where we're at. You know what we need. And so we're asking that you would have your way in this place in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. A few weeks ago, I was reading a book and I was listening to a collection of sermons that were around the same idea of the book. It's a book by a pastor in Atlanta, Pastor Andy Stanley. He wrote a book and it just recently came out. It's called Not In It to Win It. And the subtitle is this. I love the subtitle. Why Choosing Sides Sidelines the Church. And I don't know if you've noticed, but the last several years, there's been a lot of things that have happened that in the church. And here's what I'm really talking about is how we've responded. I'm not even really talking about the things that have happened, but how the church has responded is in many cases, it really has sidelined the church. And so this idea, this book and the sermons, it just caught my attention because I don't know if you've noticed, you probably have, but we have a tendency to choose sides, right? We do. Like in, you know, in America, we choose red or blue, okay? In New Mexico, we choose red or green, right? Let's just be honest. Just real quick, I'm talking Chile, just so we're not, all the red fans, anyone got some red fans? And now all the green fans, all right? And then all the bold fans, all right? All Christmas, right? Christmas in July. Right? So we choose sides, right? Elephant or donkey. And then this last 9 days, what's really come to the surface is life or choice. And we've been told, you've been told that you have to pick one side or the other. And here's what's happened is the world's gotten more and more extreme. So it's not just about picking a side. It's like, I'm going to go as far as I can with that side because it's really that I want to be as far away from that side as I can. So we keep pushing the boundaries just further and further. And the gap is widening. And while I believe that we have a standard to live by, which I'll say this again, has to be defined by the Bible, okay? If you're a follower of Christ, the standard has to be defined by the Bible. Not just what you think, not just based on your experience, it has to be defined by the Bible. While there's a standard, I think that too often that the church we're sidetracked and we're lured into choosing a side. And as a result, I'll just say it this way, we lose influence as a church in our community. I'm just telling you, when you choose a side, it's dangerous because we're pushing to choose one side. You have to push other people away. And so as I was just kind of mulling this idea around, I came across this quote from this series that I was listening to. And I'll tell you what happened. The quote was this: our actions don't always tell the whole story, but our reactions always do. Let me say it again. Our actions don't always tell the whole story, but our reactions always do. Think about reactions. Okay, think about reactions. Reactions are unfiltered, right? You don't get a chance with a reaction to like stop and go, well, should I say this or should I not? Should I do this? It just kind of comes out of you. It's like, it just, in many cases, you don't even realize, just like comes out. You've reacted and then you go, oh gosh, should I have said that? Should I have done that? And it's too late because you already did that. You reacted. And I was listening to this message where this line that our actions would always tell the whole story, but our actions always do. And I was running, I was listening to a podcast, and it hit me so hard that I'm going, and I literally stopped. I was like, I remember where I was. I could take you to the spot where I was. I stopped, and I thought, man, I need to work on this. And then I kept running. But I made a note. And when I got back to my house, I was pretty close at that point. I was on my way back. When I got back to the house, I'll just tell you what happened is I got back to the house and I immediately called my counselor. I said, I need to talk to you. And we set an appointment, and it was a couple days later. And here's why, is because the quote that our reactions tell the whole story, it hit me because I had just overreacted. Have any of you ever overreacted? Any of you ever to anything? I mean, come on. You'll feel better. Confession, this is part of going to church. I had just overreacted, okay? And I'm not going to get into it, but the context is that I had overreacted to something political that was happening in our state. And I realized when I heard this that I had overreacted, and I stopped and I thought, I don't want this to grow. I thought this, I don't want to embarrass myself. I don't want to embarrass my family. That happens too often. And I don't want to embarrass you. I don't want to embarrass my church. Like this overreaction was like, I need to get a handle on this. And so I called my counselor and I scheduled an appointment and we talked about it. In fact, the appointment started with, he always starts like, all right, Jason, what are you going to talk about? I said, well, I heard this quote and I read him the quote. He goes, that's a good quote. I said, well, that's why I'm calling you, is I need some help because I overreacted to some things and I need some help. So I processed it. And so I'm just trying to set you up. That's why I felt like this message was so timely for right now. So the context is that the Supreme Court, in a 5-4 decision on Friday, June the 24th, overturned Roe v. Wade, this landmark ruling that had established constitutional right to abortion in the U.S. since 1973. And that immediately just sent shockwaves through America. And I already told you, Lisa and I, when we heard the story, we were shocked. I mean, we couldn't believe it. And we rejoiced. And then 3 days later, our governor here in New Mexico responded by signing an executive order that strengthened our stance on pro-choice. Okay, and so in both cases, in both on Friday the 24th and the following Monday, in both cases, I'm just going to tell you what I saw as I kind of surveyed the land, is I saw a lot on both cases of overreactions, a lot of overreactions. And the word, I've been trying to find, like, how do I feel right now with all of this happening, you know? And it's mixed. It's a mixed bag. There's a lot going on. But here's my word. The word for me, like, how do I feel right now, is just, it's disappointment. And let me be clear. I'm not disappointed at all by the decision that Roe v. Wade has been overturned. In fact, for that, I'm very thankful. I personally believe and biblically believe that it's the right decision, and you might feel differently, and that's okay. And by the way, if you do, I'd love to talk to you. I really would, all right? I'd love to have that discussion. I'm totally open to having that discussion offline, all right? We're going to do it in the right way. If you want to have those discussions, we're going to do it in the right way. But my response of disappointment is not in the decision, it's actually in watching our collective, the Big C church, like Harvest and all the other churches across New Mexico and all the other churches across the United States, like our response, or I might say it this way, our overreactions. I don't know if you've seen some overreactions. I have. Some overreactions online. Which, by the way, that's such an easy place to overreact, because you feel like you can say things and you'll go farther and you'll say more online because you're not looking at the other person. So it doesn't feel personal. You can bash the other side and it doesn't feel that bad. So we've overreacted online. We've overreacted in person. We've overreacted by what we've said. And maybe more importantly, we've overreacted not just what we've said, but how we've said it. It's how we've said it. It's the tone. It's the context. If you know this, but when someone overreacts to any situation, when someone overreacts, it causes everyone to just stop and to stare, right? Like, have you noticed in the news that there's been an uptick the last 2 years in incidents on airplanes and in airports? Have y'all noticed that? Like, it just seems like all the time there's another story of a plane that had to turn around and land or some incident where someone was escorted off. And now because of cell phones, most of those incidents are recorded, right? So the whole world gets to just go on YouTube. There's hours of fun things to watch about people getting ticked off on airplanes. Pre-pandemic, there was an average of about 10 airline incidents a year, okay? I'm talking like 10 that like escalated to the point they'd be YouTube worthy, okay? I mean, there was always a few people met. 10, pre-pandemic. In 2021, it escalated from 10 to 500. In 2022, we're halfway through the year, and we're sitting at 350. So we're on pace to hit about 700 incidents this year. People getting ticked off. I'll say it this way. Overreacting, right? Overreacting on airplanes. When someone overreacts, everyone stops and stares. And in our culture today, they pull out their cell phones so they can record it and they can post it on YouTube. And the bottom line, if you found yourself in these situations, I found myself in them, observing them, right? I'm in a grocery store and a mom or a dad's overreacting to their four-year-old. And all of a sudden, they're acting like they're four. And the kids, you know, like, are confused because they're actually four, right? It's uncomfortable. Have you ever been there? You're like, oh, man. Should I intervene? Should I say something? But you're also scared, like they might punch me, right? Like right? Have you ever found yourself there? And I hate to admit this. I hate to admit it, but I've overreacted. Did you know that? I have. In fact, I did it just the other day. Just the other day. And this always happens to me is when the Holy Spirit starts working on me, and I'm like, oh, I need to preach this because I really need to help other people. And then the Holy Spirit's like, let me show you how much you need this. I'm like, I don't like that. So we're selling fireworks, and it was like the setup day, and we literally had a 53-foot semi, 28 pallets of fireworks delivered, and it was hot, and the tent company had messed up, and they weren't ready for us, and so we were scrambling, and things just weren't going right, and we're unloading, and we had some pallet jacks, and we were trying to move pallets of fireworks, I mean, just like taller than us, across dirt with rocks in it. It just wasn't pretty. And so we'd get one off, and one of us would take the pallet jack to pull, and two or three guys would get on the other side to push, and we're trying to move. Oh, it was odd. We're sweating and it's hot, and all of a sudden I'm on the pallet jack and I'm pushing, and all of a sudden I hit a rock and it just stops in its tracks. It just stops. And I got frustrated. And so we backed it up. So let's try this again, a little bit harder, right? That's a man's answer. Let's just go harder. Let's go more. And so one, two, three, boom, we just stopped. And we did it a third time because, again, it's like, well, harder didn't work. Let's go harder, harder, you know, and the harder, harder. We hit it. We hit it the third time, and I just did this. And we hit it, and I did this. I went, ah! I did that for your own good, okay? I just screamed. I wasn't mad at anybody particularly. I was just mad. I was like, why is the pallet jack not going where I want it to go? And then I noticed that every teenager and Harvest Youth that was in the tent was looking at their pastor who had just screamed. And they knew I was frustrated. They didn't know if I was frustrated with them or you or Lisa. They knew it wasn't Lisa. They didn't know. And I knew I'd overreacted. And I was embarrassed. Later, Ava, I didn't know this till later. Later, Ava slipped over to Lisa, and Lisa told me later, she said, Ava came over in that moment. She said, I don't like when Dad gets like this. I don't like when Dad's angry. I don't know if you've overreacted recently. I started out with the context of the Roe versus Wade decision or the governor's decision in relation to that. But as you can tell, this message, it relates to that, but it relates to a lot more. It relates to your home and your work and your school and your neighborhood. It relates to so much. And I just want to remind you today that right now, the world is watching the church. And I just want to remind you that they're judging the church. The world is judging the church by our reactions. They're listening, they're watching, they're paying attention. What are we saying? How are we saying it? What are we doing? And you need to know this. Your reactions are revealing. They're revealing. Because something from the inside that you've tried to keep down, you tried to hold it, you tried to, no one can see it, that's how I feel. And all of a sudden something happens, it sets it off, rah, it comes out and it reveals. It reveals something that's happening inside at a really, really deep level. And we all have things that cause reactions in us. And the things that push your buttons may not push my buttons, right? You're listening to my story about the pallet jack, and you're like, I don't know why that upset you, Pastor. You weren't there, okay? You don't get to judge that. But on the same note, like all of us, we all have things, right? A name can cause a reaction. A word, an environment, a topic, a type of people, a political phrase. I mean, if someone says to you, they say, you are just like your dad. For some of you, you're like, thank you. And for others of you, like, do not ever say those words again. I don't want to be like him. Why can't you be more like your sister? Oh, right? What about Bob down the hall? Bob always turns his reports on time. Oh, all of a sudden, Bob becomes a curse word to you, right? You're like, I'm saying, are you following me? I'm sorry if your name's Bob. I love you. Right? Pro-life, pro-choice. Oh, so something comes. Pandemic, mask, vaccine. Ooh, fighting words, right? On all the sides. I'm not picking a side right now. Just the word, right? I mean, some of you, if you have a watch that tells your heart rate, right now it's just going up. He just said vaccine. He just said mask. He just said pandemic. Oh, right? Reaction. I'm just causing a reaction, right? Christian or church or cat, right? Oh, God, man, my heart rate just spiked. I'm just telling you. I don't like cats. But I love you. Our reactions should clue us in to something going on the inside. That was one of the things that when I called Peter, my counselor, I talked about this. He was like, he wasn't quite as worried about it as I was, because he was like, well, the good news is you had the wherewithal to notice that you overreacted. Let's celebrate that for a second. He's like, good job, Jason, good job. I'm like, no, I'm calling you for help. Help me. He's like, but you noticed. So now what does it mean? What does it mean? What does that reaction mean? I'm like, I don't know what it means. That's why I'm calling you. You know? So help me. Help me to dig a little deeper. Your reactions, it reveals that there's something going on. And the problem is most of us just run. We just fly right past that. And so I'm trying to help you today that maybe you've overreacted to something. And I'm saying, look, it's revealing that there's something going on in you. Don't fly past that. Stop. Let the Holy Spirit do some work. Do some discovery. Why is that thing, that word, that phrase, that issue, why is it causing this reaction? There's a heart issue there, and that's why we got to talk about this. So what I started to think about was, because I think most of our tendency is to overreact, I started thinking, so what if instead of an overreaction, what if the church could exhibit an unexpected, unprecedented underreaction? Like, what if? That's what I've been pondering for the last couple of weeks. What if the church could exhibit an underreaction? Because let's just be honest, the world's expecting us to overreact. They're totally expecting us to lose our cool. They're expecting it. What if we could underreact in such a way that someone would look at you and your underreaction and say, who would say that sort of a thing, but in an underreactive way? Who would respond? Who would do like that? Who would live like that? Who would respond in that way? But not because it's so over the top, but because it's so under-expected. It's so underrated. So, like, what if? What if it was so biblical? What if it's such a biblical response that it caused people to go, man, I've never seen a reaction like that. If you study Jesus and his life, you'll see that this sort of unexpected underreaction happened a lot in Jesus' life. And let's face it, he had plenty of opportunity because Jesus was constantly treated unfairly and unjustly and unkindly. And if you look at Jesus' life, what you see is that his reactions were so different that it caught people off guard often. And here's what I want you to also see, is not only did it catch people off guard when Jesus underreacted, but it actually created an opportunity. That's what I want you to see today. An underreaction to something going on can cause an opportunity for the hope of the gospel to be introduced into a situation. An underreaction. You miss it with an overreaction, but you gain an opportunity with an underreaction. And I'll just tell you my concern today. My concern is that the church sounds and reacts just like everyone else. And we miss our opportunity to share the hope and the love and the grace of the gospel. We don't get to share our relationship with Jesus. This is what I'm alluding to when I say that as soon as Roe v. Wade was overturned, immediately it became an online war between both sides, and we're both just lobbing rocks back and forth at each side. And I'm just telling you, the church, in many ways, we've already missed an opportunity by our overreaction. So I just want to show you just one of Jesus' teachings today that helps us to see this underreaction. It's found in the Gospel of Matthew. It's found in Matthew chapter 5. It's part of what's called the Sermon on the Mount because Jesus is on a mountain and he's sharing a sermon. And it's a few chapters. He gives a lot of information. But it's in this sermon, you've probably heard these words. It's in this sermon that Jesus says this. He starts in verse 38. He says, "You've heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth." Which, by the way, I don't think that message of the culture has changed any all the way to today. That's still the message of today. Culture teaches us to retaliate. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, you've heard it said. In other words, culture teaches. Culture says, right? You've heard it said. And culture teaches us eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Retaliate. If someone's mean to you, you can be mean back. If someone pulls in front of you on I-40, you can yell at them. You can throw them the finger. You can pull a gun. It escalates so quickly. That's what culture says. Like, hey, they deserved it. They had it coming. They shouldn't have done that. They shouldn't have said that. They shouldn't have gotten the line with 15 items or less with 16 items. So give them a piece of your mind, right? That's what culture says. This type of behavior is culturally acceptable. They started it. Right? If any of you have more than one kid, you've heard those words. They started it. They said it. They touched me. They did. Right? And the church is doing the same thing. They did it. They said it first. Eye for eye. Tooth for tooth. Culture said. But Jesus says this. Jesus says, but I have a better way. So he says, you've heard it said this. Watch this, verse 39. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. So you got to pay attention here. Jesus is saying the cultural norm is one way, but church, he's saying there's a different way. There's a different way. And by the way, church, we especially right now, we really need to tune in to what Jesus says. Not what we feel or what we think, not what our experience has been or what our friend thinks or what we read online or what others are doing or what's on the news, not what the other political party says. Like our job, church, is to, what is Jesus saying? Because here he says, you've heard it said, but I say to you. So that's a good question on any topic. Like, what is Jesus saying about this? And he says, do not resist an evil person. And just so we're clear, Jesus is not talking about self-defense, okay? Protection is different than retaliation. They're very different, okay? I'll tell you a firework stand story. Every year we have a couple of people that try to steal things. And so it's kind of one of my jobs as I'm selling things is I'm also like watching. I'm watching for someone to try to steal something. And there have been a few things that have happened over the years. And so this year I was talking to the teenagers a couple of days ago. I'm like, all right, we need a plan if someone tries to steal something, all right? We need a plan. So here's the plan, okay? We're gonna assign responsibilities, all right? So person number one is gonna call 911, okay? We started out really good here. Call the authorities. Person number two is gonna make sure you get the whole thing on video, okay? Person number three, which is gonna be me, I'm gonna tackle them in the parking lot, all right? I've been running, I've been training, I'm gonna tackle them, okay? So I said, I'm going to tackle them. And then as they get up, person number four, I want you to come in with a flying elbow. Bam! Kind of like a wrestling move, all right? That's number four. Now remember, not retaliation. They stole something. We're protecting our stuff, right? Person number five is going to take a chair to the back of the head. Bam! Right? Person number six is going to do a running clothesline. Ah! Hit him right in the neck. Flip him upside down, right? I had this whole plan. I could keep going. I could, but I won't, because you're already judging me. I get it. I feel it. I can sense it. In my mind, that would have been okay, because they were stealing from me, okay? From you. They were stealing from you. They're stealing from our youth. We're just protecting our youth, all right? Jesus is talking about retaliation. He's sending us a message. He's saying, do not react to evil with evil. Don't be reciprocal. Don't react like everyone else. And I'll just remind you, when we do, we miss an opportunity. So Jesus goes on and he says, if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. You've probably heard the phrase, turn the other cheek. This is the passage where that idea comes from. And what you need to know, this isn't describing an attack. Okay. Notice he says, slap, if you slapped on the right cheek, and this is very specific, culturally, if you walked up and you slapped someone on the right cheek, it wasn't an open-handed slap, it was a backhanded slap, and it was meant to send a message, okay? It was a statement, it was an insult, it was what you did to like bait someone into a fight, right? It was like, come on, I'm ready. Bam, right? Like it was like it wasn't like it was like I'm asking you, let's do this. And Jesus is saying, my followers respond differently. He says, my followers don't get baited in. They don't get lured in by a social media comment. They don't get lured into the dispute. They don't respond in like language or in like tone. We don't give in to the internet trolls. We're followers of Jesus. And so we respond differently. So Jesus says, turn the other cheek. And then he says in verse 40, if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. And then he says, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. So again, Jesus is teaching the art of the underreaction. And what Jesus is talking about here, if there's a cultural part of this that you'd have to understand. He's actually talking about something that culturally was called compulsory public service. And what it means is that a leader, a temple leader, a political leader, a wealthy individual in the community, a powerful person could literally walk up to an average citizen and could stop them from whatever they were doing and could force them to serve them. And there were actually some rules around this compulsory public service. And one of the rules was, like, I could, if I was a leader, I could stop someone and I could say, hey, I have this load and I need you to carry it. And by law, you had to carry it 1,000 paces or about the equivalent of a mile. So depending on the version you're reading, it might say one or the other, 1,000 paces. And Jesus says, hey, followers, we're going to respond differently. Don't just carry it 1,000, but don't overreact, right? Don't roll your eyes. Don't mumble and complain, right? Don't throw a fit. Just pick up the load, go 1,000, and then go 1,000 more. Surprise them is what he's saying. Underreact. Do something different. Don't respond how you think, how they're expecting you to, but do something different. And he says in verse 42, give to the one who asks you and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow. In other words, he's saying whatever the cultural norm is for the rules around giving to the needy and the rules around lending your possessions, do it different. Go above and beyond. And then he says, verse 43, again, you've heard it said, culture says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. In other words, he's saying this. He says, like the people who like you and don't like the people who don't like you. That's what culture says. I might go further. What I think culture's teaching us today is not just to like the people that like you, but the culture today says, like people who are like you. What we're seeing happen in the world today is it's getting harder and harder to be friends with people who are different than you. Culture says, just gather people who are like you. As long as you're all in the same belief system, or you go to the same places, you do the same things, or you're all the same nationality, or that, then that can be your group. So Jesus is identifying, he's saying, that's what the world is saying. Like, can we just be honest? Liking people who are like you is really easy. I mean, it's not even hard. Like, you don't even need the love of Jesus in you to like people who are like you. Like, I like this phrase. Sometimes I'll see something, you know, happening, and I'll look at someone, and I don't even have to know them, but because of the thing I'm observing, I'm like, they're my people. They're my people. Does that ever happen to you? Where you encounter someone, you're like, yeah, that's my people, right? Yesterday, I sold a lot of fireworks to a guy, and I sold so much to him that I was like, let me help you to your car. When I helped him to his car, I knew he was my people. He had this big, like, explorer, like, van, like, travel van with this awesome camper trailer thing on it. The whole thing was jacked up, and I'm like, can I just come with you? And he looked at me really strange. I'm sorry, we just met. But I'm like, but I know we're friends because you're wearing Hokas and I'm wearing Hokas. You're my people. I literally said that to him. And again, he was like, just give me my fireworks. Sometimes you see someone, you're like we would get along. Does that happen to you? Like I have some pictures to help you, okay? If I walked into your backyard and I saw this happening, here's a picture. I would know you're my people, all right? I would just know it. If I walked in and you're mixing a salad, I'm like, I don't know if we can be friends. But this tells me you're my people, right? You're my people. Here's another one, okay? Here's another one. This describes my people, all right? I'm just going to put the picture up, put the next picture up. Where are my people at? Where are my people at? Looking for dog people. That's my dog, Cooper, by the way. He's the best. You're my people if you're dog people. You're my people. I won't even say the other animal. Just you're my people, all right? Here's another one. If you like to do this hobby, you're my people. You are my people. I really just did this because I caught this giant fish a few weeks ago and I just wanted to show you, all right? That is actual. That is for real, not even Photoshopped. I'm even holding him like right here because he's so big. I'm not doing this trick, okay? I've taught you that trick. If you like to fish, you're my people, okay? If you like to eat them, you can also be my people, okay? Either way, you're my people. I have one more, and this will probably get more groans than any of them, okay? If you like to do this, you're my people, okay? Okay, runners. I see people like right now, they're raising their hands, like, you're identifying my people. Now, this picture makes me laugh because you see the lady in the blue? Right now, she's contemplating every decision she's ever made in life. And she's wondering, why did I get talked into this, right? Now, let me just tell you, I love to run, but on the other end of the spectrum is my wife. She only runs if a bear is chasing her, okay? How many of you now, you're like, I knew I liked Lisa. Now I like her even more, right? I'm trying to have some fun because it's easy to love people who are like you. It's easy. You don't even have to work at it. But Jesus had a different idea. Jesus said, verse 44 now, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Jesus says, this is the response to people that are not like you. Pray for them and love them. And I'll just say this, in the last 10 days, there have been way too many things said and way too many things done without love and without prayer. I mean, let's just be honest. Most of you don't even pray for the people that you actually love, much less the people you don't like. And Jesus says, pray for them, love them. And here's why. Let's try to figure out why. Why is this so important? Verse 45, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. This is so important. Jesus wants us to react differently because when we do, we reflect into the earth the character of our Father in heaven. Uncommon reactions mean that we look more like our Heavenly Father. And I'll just tell you, this is so convicting to me. So convicting to me that the best way for those around me to see Jesus is by seeing an underreaction in me when things don't go my way. Because I'm such an overreactor. I've always known this about myself, so I found a really good way to talk about my overreaction. I just describe myself as passionate. Doesn't that sound better? I'm just passionate. This passion, I'm passionate. And that just sounds better. The reality, here's what the Holy Spirit's just teaching me. Maybe he's going to help you as well. I don't know. He's like, you can call it whatever you want, Jason, but when you overreact, you're blowing it. You're missing the opportunity. You're pushing people away. You're not showing them the love of Christ. You're not revealing the character of my Father. Those of you that have kids, you'll understand this. Isn't it awesome when your kids reflect the best parts of you? Isn't it awesome? Like, I'm telling y'all, listen, if you do come to the fireworks stand, do not let our youngest daughter Eden help you, okay? Do not. She is an incredible salesperson, okay? The Wingates came in yesterday, and I didn't know this, but they had a preset budget for what they wanted to spend, and then Eden got a hold of them, all right? And I'm telling you, she's so good, and she's literally putting things on their cart, and she's just so sweet that you don't even know that it's happening. And they get to the end, and Anthony looks at me and goes, I am way over my budget. And so we distracted Kim with Lisa, and Anthony went back and just kind of put a few items, but he got back closer to his budget. We still were a little over it, but we were pretty close to it. And I'll just be honest, like, I'm a pretty good salesperson, and when I see that in Eden, I'm like, I'm so proud of that girl. She is awesome. She's awesome. Get it. Like, literally, we're at a truck stop. The fireworks stands at a truck stop. And so when we see truckers parking their big rigs, we get excited because we're like, they have a big truck and they make a lot of money and they're going to California. So we're going to send fireworks to California, okay? And so a trucker will be walking up and I'll walk over and I'll go, Eden, trucker, go sell them $800. And she just got, it's incredible. And I'm over there, I'm just proud. Isn't it awesome when you see things in your kids that you're proud of? Isn't it not awesome when you see things in your kids that you're not proud of? So when that happens in our home, I just go, why are you being like your mom? Y'all know that's, I mean, I do say it, but it's not true. You know that. You know, I saw anything good came from her, anything bad came from me, right? It's hard. It's hard when you see things in your kids that are not like you. I think so often the Father in heaven's watching us and how we respond, and he's like, that's not like me. That's not my language. That's not how I talk. That's not what I've taught you. That's not what my word says. That's not, come on, church, you could do better, right? I think so often he's just watching us, and I'll say it, he's watching me. I won't even put it on you, and he's saying, ooh, Jason, you could have done better there. Because our Father wants us to reflect his character here in the earth. Uncommon reactions mean that we look a lot more like our Heavenly Father. Verse 46, I'm almost finished. Verse 46, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more? Catch this question. If you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? I'm going to come back to that phrase. What are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. So let me end with this. Your reactions should be a dead giveaway to who you follow. Your reactions to any situation should be a dead giveaway to who you are following. Jesus asked this question, what are you doing more than? What are you doing more than? And this is where he's trying to tie all these things back up. He's saying more stands out. The extra mile stands out. Turning the other cheek stands out. Not lashing out at others stands out. Praying for your enemies stands out. Loving others stands out. Like what are you doing more? Because that more, and it's so confusing because I've been talking about an underreaction. Now I'm talking about more. But what he's really saying is, I want more under. I want more of the stuff that's under, that society's not expecting. I want more love. I want more prayer. I want more turning the other cheek. I want more holding back and not lashing out. I want more of the under reaction. And then, I don't know if you've been challenged or not. I hope you have. But if you haven't been challenged yet, then he ends with this. He says, be perfect. Be perfect. Why don't you stand with me for a minute? Why don't you stand with me? Let's get ready to worship and then allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. Would you just consider for just a moment, because at the end he comes back to the Heavenly Father and he says, therefore be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. And so I love doing this myself because it's just such a good exercise is to just pause and say, man, what has my Heavenly Father done for me? And how has he responded to my sin? How has he responded to my overreactions? How has my perfect Heavenly Father responded to all the things that I've done? And so what I want to do is our worship team is going to lead us in just a couple of minutes of worship. And this just so you know, this isn't just like, oh, we do another song at the end. Like this is to create space. Because now that you've heard God's word, James says you don't just look in a mirror and then walk away and forget what you've seen. But now as we've gazed into the mirror, and maybe as you've gazed into the mirror of God's word, maybe you've seen some overreactions in your own life. Maybe you've seen how you overreacted in your marriage or to your kids or something happening online or at work. Your neighbor. Maybe you've overreacted, and what I'm asking you to do is now that you've seen that, you've seen that reflection of yourself in God's word, and you've said, oh, I overreacted. Would you allow the Holy Spirit to help you as we sing this last song and spend just a few minutes in his presence? Would you ask for his help to strengthen you, to help you to not overreact, but to underreact? Because when we do, such an opportunity for the hope and the grace and the love of Jesus to come into our lives. Are you ready for this? Can we do it? Let's worship for just a minute this morning.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Fellowship podcast. For more information, visit harvestabq.org.